Hey friends, thank you for joining us for today's episode of the Black Girl's Guide to Self-Care. This is your girl, Kristen Denise, also known as KD, and I am so grateful that you are joining us on our self-care journey. I want to ask you to remember to make sure that you subscribe so that you're always aware of a new conversation that drops, that you rate us because we want to know how we're doing. Give us 5 stars. And that you leave a review so that other people can know what we're talking about and know why they should join in on the conversation. Thank you so much for your help. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hey friends, it's your girl, Kristen Denise, also known as KD, here with another episode of the Black Girl's Guide to Self-Care. I did not podcast last week because I was traveling. I was out of town on Sunday. And I wanted to focus on where I was and what I was doing. And so I did that. But I'm here this week. I was actually traveling this weekend too. I got back into town today. But I got back early this morning. So I was able to take a nap and run some errands and do some stuff. About to jump into some homework. Because that's the story of my life in this season. But did want to do a replay episode actually. So quick update and then a replay. I got a chance to go home to Michigan this past weekend and celebrate my Auntie Jackie, who retired after 25 years as an educator. So love you, Auntie Jackie. Super proud of you again. So happy I can be a part of celebrating you. You are awesome and I love you. And I'm so excited about this next season of your life. What else? We're about to get into finals, basically, or final projects. It's not even really finals for me. The semester is winding down. There are 3 weeks left in school, one of those weeks being Thanksgiving. So really 2 weeks left of classes. And I'm going to be writing because everybody wants a paper. I made a joke like, don't nobody want to give a test? But apparently in this season of life, nobody wants to give a test. Everybody wants a paper. And I'm going to make sure I get all these papers in because I am trying to end the semester on a really high note, which for me would be a 4.0. Y'all know how I am. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time on that. So you might get a couple replays over the next couple of weeks, but they'll be some of the best episodes that we have. I'm going to try to get some new and fresh ones in there. It'll just kind of depend on how I'm navigating through all of my work and the things that I am doing. I'm actually excited about this season, because I get to see how I get to show up now in this, in a different way. In a new way. I'm still navigating seasonal depression, but I've been depressed for so long. My depression has been active for so long that I'm actually kind of on an upswing coming into this season, which is not my normal. But I'm excited to see what happens and how it plays out. I plan to journal through this time to see how I'm handling this stuff. My therapist and I talked about it last week. And so I think journaling in this season in particular and charting how I navigate through this space as a student, maybe different than previous times, or how I'm navigating the space coming out of a heavy depression that's lasted for over a year, how this season might be different for me. I'm open to the possibilities and seeing what it is and what it ain't and what it can be. So here we are. The replay for today is on actually how to navigate seasonal depression. I know this time is a trigger for a lot of people during the season. Unfortunately, suicide rates go up. A lot of people feel darkness and loneliness for a majority of the season. They feel isolated. They maybe have a hard time connecting with family and friends. There's just a lot that happens during this time of year. And so I want to do a replay of an episode that I did a year ago, right around this time, on do's and don'ts for navigating this season and how to ensure that you are doing your best to make it as joy-filled as possible. To make it as healthy as possible, even if it's not light, it doesn't have to be pitch black darkness. That's kind of where I am. It don't have to be great, but it doesn't have to be horrible, right? And so just being kept, just getting by, just having enough. And this season is okay. You know, normally I'm here for team thriving and knock it out the park and have it all and do your best and get what you want. And sometimes just being okay is enough. And so if you make it through this season and you're just okay, that is phenomenal and amazing, and I want to share some tips and tricks on how to do just that. Also, I want to shout out the homies I got to hang out with while I was in Detroit and connect with some old friends. I actually got to connect with an old friend in the previous week, too, when I went on another trip to North Carolina. So shout out to all the old friends that I've gotten to see in the month of November. You all have blessed me in a really great way. And seeing you and being with you and loving on you and just having time with you has been a real blessing. So Thanks, guys, for being awesome. And now we're going to jump into the replay of do's and don'ts of navigating this season and seasonal depression. I love you guys. Make it a great week. Do what you need to do always to be more than okay. Mwah. Hey, friends. It is your girl, Kristen Denise, also known as KD, here with another episode of the Black Girl's Guide to Self-Care. I'm actually recording on Sunday, but it's late on Sunday night. So depending on how long this episode is, it still won't get posted technically until Monday because it'll be after midnight. We have a new number one. That'll be my podcast fun fact. The Routine Success episode finally got knocked out of the number one spot. And it got knocked out of the number one spot by the episode that was in the number two spot. How to Love Yourself Well, which was our Valentine's Day episode. So, hey, we got a new focus. Routine success is cool and all, but loving ourselves well is first and foremost, according to the Black Girls Guide to Self-Care community. So glad that you guys are still finding joy in that episode from February, from the before times. Glad that it is still proving beneficial. All those things are true, still in COVID or not. And so thankful that people are finding what they need to be well. And loving yourself first is definitely the foundation for loving yourself well and making sure that you are well on every level and in every area of your life. So that is pretty awesome. There's been some other shifting too. The episode on developing a fall self-care plan did make it to the number three spot. Like I said, routine success is number two. It's still overwhelmingly number two. So developing a fall self-care plan would have a long way to go to get to the number two spot, but it might get there because y'all listening, and I appreciate it so much. So thank you for that. I'm saying a lot tonight. I can't even tell you why. That's actually not my norm, but it's where we are, and it's 2020, and I don't question much of anything these days. Everything is possible. So it's November 1st. And I want to say I shared last year, and if not, I'm sharing now that for me, November 1st is a significant day. Not because it's a holiday or anything, but because for me in my world, it is kind of the starting point for my seasonal depression. I love fourth quarter. I get a lot done in fourth quarter. Fourth quarter is super productive for me, but it's also very challenging for me. I want to say, I know I've shared that at some point before. I just can't tell you when because my memory right now is, well, we just going to keep praying. And November 1st is usually that kickoff day for me of this challenging season. I can technically say it started a little earlier. I'll be super honest, right? I was really sad when my mom left. Definitely cried Monday night, which was her last night here. And we were snuggling on the couch and I was just a crying. And she didn't even notice, right? Because it wasn't like a heavy kind of cry. It was just tears falling down my face. And then eventually I was like, Mommy, I'm sad that you're leaving tomorrow. Sounding like a full-grown toddler. And I'm okay with that. And she hugged me and we snuggled some more. And, you know, we still got to adult, right? So she still had to leave the next day. I definitely cried on driving her to the airport. And she was like, I need you to get it together, girl. And after dropping her off, I came home and I did some work. And then I got in the bed because sis was sad. I was emotional. And definitely cried quite a bit on that day. Spent much of the afternoon in the bed. Ended up working late at night and sending emails after midnight because I spent a big chunk of the afternoon when I would normally be working in the bed. Sad and missing my mama. So I can own that. And then it went to, I made it through the week okay. I didn't get a chance to do my physical therapy. We had hurricane winds in Georgia from Tropical Storm Zeta or Hurricane Zeta. I don't know what she was by the time she got to Georgia, but them winds were strong. And as a result, knocked out the power in a lot of Metro Atlanta. There were people who still didn't get power back until today. There might still be some people without power if I remember correctly, which sucks because the power went out technically like Wednesday night, Thursday morning, middle of the night kind of thing for a lot of folk.
So my physical therapy office was closed because they didn't have power. So Thursday and Friday. So my body is super achy. I'm supposed to have an appointment in the morning. Prayerfully, they got power, and we'll see what happens. 'Cause I need it. My body is hella achy. I've only technically had 2 appointments since the car accident, and I am in need of a healing, need of some therapy. But I've made it through most of the rest of the week okay, just kind of getting some stuff done. Noticed some warning signs, and I'll be real, I didn't really notice them until it was kind of late in the game. I'm just on that. Of some things that I do when my depression starts to kick up. I'm an emotional shopper, so I started doing this random shopping all of a sudden, buying stuff I don't need because sis got more clothes than any one person ever would need already. But just kind of buying some stuff here and there, and not just because, oh, I liked it, almost compulsively. I can admit to that. Didn't do too bad, but still, I'm like, why am I buying this stuff? I don't need any of this. And then, it's cute, though. I'm gonna be cute, I tell you that. Fun fact. Oh, is it fun? I'll call it a fun fact. I'm typically really, really cute in the fall, like super cute in the before times in the fall, because I have a commitment to myself that I won't feel bad and look bad. So in the fall, I'll be out here fire because I don't typically feel that great. So I make it a point to do my best to look good, and it actually usually helps me to feel better. I don't know what that's gonna look like in the pandemic because I don't be going nowhere to be dressed up. So we'll see what happens with that. That's one thing. And then yesterday, I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get some fall decor. Of course, I decided this on Halloween, so it's not necessarily a ton of fall decor to be gotten. But I found some really cute things that I'm gonna put up. I ordered my little over the door wreath hangers or whatever to hang some of the things up on my front door, which I don't actually use, and my back door, which is what I use most often because it's closer to the parking lot from my apartment. And bought some other little things to like put outside or whatever. I just gotta make sure I can secure them for when it gets a little windy. I don't want my stuff blowing all over the place. And when I was driving home, I just got hit with a huge wave of sadness. Kind of, not kind of, but a overwhelming wave of sadness. I just started crying while driving, and I'm like deep crying, not a couple of tears rolling down my face, but you'd have thought something happened. And I pretty much spent the rest of the night crying off and on. I would say I probably cried about 4 times last night. And I've cried like 2 or 3 times today. And I was like, oh, well, we here. The depression has made its presence known in my world. And while I know it's coming, it's still hard to deal with. Even more challenging than normal in the realm of COVID. And so I'm just going to share, beyond the fall self-care plan, some things that I have decided to commit to help me try to navigate this effectively in this unknown and an even more challenging season than normal. And I'm going to tell you some no-nos. I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do again. So I'm actually start with the no-nos. Last year, during this time, my depression still came, but I kind of pushed it to the back burner. I literally would not allow myself to feel my feelings because I just had too much going on. I had multiple jobs, and then I got let go from my part-time job in a way that I felt was unfair. But I didn't even have the bandwidth to kind of deal with it. And it was funny because I had prayed for God to take some things off my plate if they didn't need to be there. And I think I got let go the next day with no real explanation or anything. It was pretty trash the way it was handled, but whatever. We keep the party going. I was finishing up my final semester of undergrad after like 20 years. So that was a lot. That was challenging. And one of my professors was just completely unreasonable. The other one was fine, but one of them professors, she had me ready to pull up on her because she was ridiculous. So I had that. So I had the 2 classes for undergrad. I had my full-time job. I had the emotional aspect of being let go from my other job after having literally given my all to it, and with no real explanation as to why. What else was happening? There was something else going on at the time. I don't even remember what. And so I just pushed my feelings to the side because who has time to deal with that? Like, I got other things I need to be working on. Being in my feelings ain't one. Oh, I was in a leadership development class. for nonprofit professionals that was meeting like every 2 weeks, and we had these books to read and these activities to do. We just had a playground built at work that had required a lot of my time, energy, and effort. It was a wonderful project, but it had just taken a lot from me, mentally and physically. And what else? It was something else going on. Oh, I was also teaching a class for the Georgia Center for Nonprofit. The fall version of the class I taught had started up. So that was all going on at once. And I was like, I don't have time for depression. I don't have time to lay in a bed an extra couple hours. I got stuff to do. And so I pushed those feelings to the side and I kept pushing them, and they kept trying to come out, and I kept pushing them because I was like, I just got to get through these things. And then I went to Kenya for Thanksgiving, which was a phenomenal, amazing trip. Oh my God, it was absolutely beautiful. I literally landed at like 4 o'clock when I got back from Kenya, went to my friend's 40th birthday party. She was shocked to see me. She's like, aren't you in Kenya? I was like, well, no, I took a flight back today. She's like, why are you here? And because it's your birthday and I love you. Shout out to you, Morgan. And that was literally the night I got back. And then I had finals week. And then two of my good friends had birthdays, one of them being her 40th birthday as well. So 40th birthday for one friend. My goddaughter's first birthday happened that next weekend, or that same weekend after I got back. The following weekend was graduation weekend, so that took up all my time and energy. The following weekend, I went out of town. I went to Michigan for my family's Christmas party. And I got home on December 24th. I started crying on December 24th, and I don't think I stopped until December 26th. Like, legitimately, just crying consistently off and on. I didn't spend Christmas with anyone. I didn't want to be around anyone. I sat in my townhouse and I spent much of my time in tears. I left at one point and went to Starbucks and drank Starbucks like on Christmas Day, because I was like, you've got to get out of the house. This is unhealthy. But because I pushed it off to what traditionally would be closer to the end of the season of my depression, I start to see some light around the beginning of the year. It was like everything I pushed off waited until December 24th, when there was nothing else to push it off towards, because I was working, but I didn't have students. So that couldn't take my time and attention. I graduated, so school wasn't taking my time and attention. I wasn't teaching it. I had picked out my last class with Georgia Center for Nonprofit for that go round. So that wasn't taking my attention. It was like all these things that were on my plate were suddenly gone. And I just had space and room to feel. And there was so much I had pushed to the side that I felt attacked, honestly, by my feelings, and had a really deep depression, like despair almost. And I am grateful to friends again, like Melanie. Melanie stay saving my life. I need to let her know that. We had started a friend tradition of going to the botanical gardens in Atlanta and looking at the lights. And that was something I just did with her family. So we had already had that on the books, and it was perfect. Like, I needed it. I want to say we went the day after Christmas, and it was a much needed reprieve. And in my tears, I had such a fabulous time making s'mores with the kids and drinking hot cocoa and walking through the lights and stuff. It was phenomenal, which helped. That was a day with some beauty in it, because I definitely cried before I met up with them, and I definitely cried after. And I spent the rest of that break mostly in tears and feeling lost and feeling really alone, and not sharing. Right, I have such solid community too, but just not really feeling comfortable sharing all of that with them, because I didn't want to be a burden to anyone else. That's something I deal with, is feeling like a burden. Because my mental health challenges can be so heavy, and I have friends who go out of their way for me, because they know, like, I live by myself, I'm single, you know, but I, flip side, also don't want to burden them with these things, because they have families, they have kids, they have stuff that they're doing, and I am not technically their responsibility in that way. While they do take responsibility for me, and they love me, and they care for me very deeply, I just never want to feel like a burden. That's just something I deal with. And so sharing honestly when asked, but finding it hard sometimes to communicate outside of being asked, which started my year off in a very dark and confused place, if I'm honest. And I stayed that way for a while. Then we hit the pandemic, and then it got worse and my anxiety kicked up. It started my year off in a very challenging way, because I pushed it, pushed it, pushed it. And that was probably the first year I just kind of pushed it to the side like that. Normally, I do give myself grace to feel how I feel and just deal with it. So I'm not going to do that again. That was a huge mistake to try to push it to the side. Now, there might be times where I'm like, I can't deal with this right now in this moment. But I've got to give myself like a 24-hour window to get back to it, because I can't let it all pile up and attack me on Christmas Eve again. That was too much. So that's one huge mistake. And then another mistake, I've gone through this season before without therapy. I ain't never gonna do that again. That's just foolish. I need the help. Even with strong, beautiful, supportive, amazing, phenomenal community, even with people who love me and love me deeply, who will be there for me in every which way they can, there is no reason I should go through this season without a therapist. Even if I went the whole year without therapy, I'm going to have consistent, at least bi-weekly therapy during this time of year. These 2 months in particular, November and December, because I need it, and willing to have more of it if necessary, because I need it to be well. So those would be my two big things. Don't push these feelings to the side. They're not going to go away. They will gang up on you and jump you. Don't be jumped by your feelings. And don't go through this season without a professional if you can manage it. There are those who use a sliding scale. There's just all kinds of ways to get the help that you need from the perspective of therapy, and do what you can to get that help. It's just critical to your overall well-being. And we need you here. We need you on this side of eternity. We need you whole, and we need you well. So please do that. Familiarize yourself. If you're a person who deals with suicidal ideations, in particular in this season, familiarize yourself with the National Suicide Hotline. Create a safety plan. Like, do what you need to do to make it out of this season. Because what I can say, even yesterday, while the sadness felt overwhelming, like I literally felt it in my bones. And I actually posted it in a group I'm in on Facebook. I was like, have you ever felt sadness so deep you feel it in your bones? Because that's where I am right now. And even in the, like, it feels hopeless in the midst of that. I'm not going to lie. Like, yesterday I was like, I feel like I'm never going to smile again, because the sadness was so sudden and so heavy. But I know that while that feeling is real, that feeling is not a fact. It's not true, if that makes sense. It's very real, and it deserves to be dealt with, and it deserves to be honored, but it is not the predictor of what the rest of my life would be. It wasn't even a predictor of what the next 24 hours of my life would be. And while I went to bed deeply sad, and I actually woke up crying today, which is not a fun way to wake up, I've had peace and joy and laughter and smiles in this day, even though yesterday I felt like it was impossible. Which gets me to the, what am I going to do in this season to ensure that I make it out on the other side and whole and intact? Number one, I'm going to commit to the basics, the really foundational things. I'm going to commit to getting out of bed every day, which seems simple, but can be really hard for me in this time. So I'm going to commit to getting out of bed every day. I'm going to commit to combing my hair every day. I'm going to commit to eating good food at least once a day. Today is a really great example. I did pretty good for breakfast. I had a croissant, had like a mimosa, and had some fruit. So that was fine. That wasn't bad. I didn't eat a real meal again until like 7 o'clock at night. I just ate junk. So I'm going to do a better job of keeping junk out of my house during this time. One, I'm diabetic and I just don't need junk. And two, it's, in general, it's just not good. And I want to be fun flying 40. It's hard to be fun and fly while you being 40 if you just eating junk food. That's not really going to aid the situation. I also feel better mentally and emotionally when I give my body good food. When I eat vegetables and things like that, that matters to me. That matters to my mental health more than I realize. So I'm going to commit to eating really good food at least once a day. I know I'm going to commit to eating 3 times a day, but eating really good food at least once a day. What else did I say that I was going to commit to doing every day? And I'm going to make sure to connect with someone every day. When it gets hard, I will withdraw from people because I can't really hide my sadness when it gets really hard. It would take just a lot of work, and I don't have the energy to devote to that, to be honest. I have to use my energy to do the other things I need to do, like get up and be functional and go to work and eat and that kind of stuff. So if you talk to me, you will know that I am sad. Like, you'll know if something's wrong, because it just I can't hide it. I don't hide it well, I should say. For people who know me, I don't hide it well, and I can't hide it for long. If you're talking to me for more than like 6 seconds, you'll be like, hey, what's good, sis? So I'm honest when people talk to me and when they ask me what's up. So I will withdraw so that I don't have to deal with people asking me those questions, because I don't want to be held accountable to giving those answers. I don't want to put a damper on somebody else's day. You know, I don't want to take away from someone else's joy because I'm sad, or make people feel like they can't have their joy because I am sad. I'm not that person. I really want you to feel your joy. I really want you to be happy. I am really legitimately happy for you, even if I'm crying in my own life. And so I will withdraw and disconnect. So I'm making a commitment to talk to at least two people every day that is where it's not work related. And so one of them's filled out. I talk to my mom pretty much every single day. And she won't really let it go more than 2 days without actually hearing my voice. Like, I could text her when they're like, oh, I'm sorry, got busy, I'm good. And she'll take it. If I do it a second day, she's going to call me and be like, what's up? So that covers one, but then that forces me to think of a second person every day to communicate with, that to say, even if I'm not good, there's someone who has laid eyes on me, if it's like a FaceTime or something, or there's someone who's heard my voice, who has been able to talk to me, and, you know, just kind of know where I am and how I'm doing, and we've connected. Because as much as I want to withdraw, I also know I need human connection. As introverted as I can become, I still recognize that human connection is good for me. So those are my basics, right? Getting up and actually getting out of bed. A big trigger for me that when my depression is active is it's hard for me to get out of bed in the morning. And so I need to set a very easeful morning routine that helps me to get out of bed, which means I need to put a time limit on it. Like, okay, you maybe need to lay here a little bit longer, but you can't lay here for 5 hours every day. If there is a day like that, I can give myself that day, but I can't let that be consistent, because there are things I want to do. There are things I need to do. And so I need to get up and do them. So getting out of bed, going through my hygiene routine, even if I'm not going to leave the house, just making sure, like, just taking care of myself in that way, taking a bath, brushing my teeth, washing my face, putting on lotion, like, and the good stuff too, right? Like the good smelling thick shea butter lotion. So that I feel good in my body. Like, the little things that you do to make yourself feel good in your body go a long way for your mental health. And then it might be putting pajamas right back on, or putting on, you know, I remember I went through my loungewear buying. It's time. It's getting colder outside, so it's perfect to sit around the house in my super soft, super comfy loungewear, super cute loungewear. So, you know, committing to doing that. Doing whatever work I need to do for work and or for school. I have both of those things on my plate. So making sure I get those things done. And those are my basics. And eating 3 times a day, which means for me, I'm going to be super honest, I'm going to have to set an alarm to ensure that I eat 3 times, because I don't think about food like that when I am sad. But I need to eat, because as I already stated, I'm diabetic. There's medicine I need to take. There are things I need to do for my body to help me stay healthy. And one of them is eating regularly and eating enough so my body can help to still self-regulate my insulin as much as it can. And then connecting with people, being honest and connecting with at least 2 people every day, and not withdrawing from my friends, because I don't want to feel like a burden to them, because I'm not my normal, I'm doing air quotes that you can't see, happy-go-lucky self. Because I need to give myself grace in that, right? They're my friends, which means, and they're not just my friends because I'm a happy person or because of what I can contribute to the friendship. They're my friends because they love me. And them loving me and caring about me in all seasons of my life, I need to honor that. And allow that to be a part of my life, right? Even when I'm not happy, right? If they're willing to be there for me, I need to be able to let them be there for me. A prime example. You know, I posted on Facebook and on Instagram. You know, I try to be very transparent on social media, because I know there are people who won't be. And in this season of COVID in particular, where people are going to potentially feel more isolated, I want to be extra transparent just to let people know that they're not alone, one, but to also give them ideas on what to do and how they can get help. Because maybe they can't afford to go to therapy, or they don't already have a therapist and they don't know how to reach out and find one. Maybe they don't have strong community. Maybe they don't have years of practices that they've built up. And so I said, I'm going to be pretty open in sharing my journey in this season, because somebody may need the information and it may be the only way that they get it. So I'm willing to do that. So that's another thing, you know, that'll be a part of my basics, is just being honest and sharing on social media, not sharing about it every day. I don't want to become the depression girl. But being real about where I am and also how I'm actively seeking out joy in the midst of my sadness, because I know that the two can live together. One does not negate the other. So, and I'm going to still work to accomplish my goals and dreams. Like, that actually really does help me to feel good when I'm having a rough moment. Prime example, I had to do an article critique. I'm taking an educational research class. I had to do an article critique. I felt, y'all gonna have to pray for me in this. I always feel very interesting when I turn my work in. And I'll be like, ooh, I don't know how this gonna go. And I'm nervous. And then I get it back and I get, like, you know, a perfect score. And I'll be like, oh, wow. And I get really good feedback from my professors. And so one thing I've been, like, really on the search for is her feedback on this article critique. One, because I kind of did it at the last minute. Like, I did it the day it was due, so it wasn't technically the last minute. I turned it in well ahead of the deadline, but I did do it the day it was due for the most part. And it was a very involved assignment. And I've been looking for this grade since I turned it in, like, 2 weeks ago. Saw the grade today and was like, oh, praise you, Jehovah. You know, 100% her feedback was really, really awesome. As well, I enjoy good feedback because I want to know what I did well. And I also want to know if there are places I can improve. And it brought me a measure of joy. Like, it made me cry, happy tears, but it made me cry and it made me very excited. It was a reminder that I can still achieve my goals and dreams and do really well, even in the midst of the dark places that I find myself in personally, emotionally. So that was really good. So that's all I got. Don't push your feelings off. They will come back and they will attack you if you don't deal with them. Don't be like me last year and that huge mistake. Don't withdraw from the people that love you. Do actively seek out professional help if you can have it, if you can afford it, if your insurance provides for it, if you can find a sliding scale, a community program. Get professional, if your church provides it, whatever you need to do, literally by any means necessary. If you can, in this season in particular, if you deal with depression or anxiety, even if it's undiagnosed, if this is typically just a harder time of year for you, or if this year is harder than normal because you lost a loved one, or because you're feeling isolated, or because you broke up with somebody, or because you have strained relationships, or because work is not going the way you want it to, or because you had a huge disappointment, or because you didn't go on the trip, or you didn't get to celebrate your birthday, or whatever the myriad of things that it possibly can be in the year of our Lord 2020, get professional help, please. Please, 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 as much as you can, as often as you can, in every way that you can, seek out the professional help and use the professional services that are available to you. And then commit to the basics. Commit to doing, like, this is my baseline. This is what I need to do every day to ensure a baseline of wellness. Oh, duh. The one thing I left off, I am going to do self-care every day. I'm going to focus. It might not be a consistent hour, but if it's a break to go read, because I just need a break and I need to go read. If it's playing and makeup, y'all know that's my jam now. If it's doing a face mask, if it's having a quick phone call, if it's drinking a hot cup of tea, if it's eating my favorite chips, whatever it is, I'm a self-care real, real hard in this season, because myself deserves care. And the better I care for myself, the more likely I am to make it out of this closer to whole than to broken. And we want everybody healed and whole. So that's all I got, my loves. Make it a great day, week, month, year. Oh, join the Patreon for the 30-day November self-care challenge. I posted Day one, I posted it late. I ain't gonna even lie. I did post it late, but the rest of them will be better. One, because I can schedule them. So I plan to take some time this week, at some point this week, to schedule some of these other posts so they're ready to go and they're not dependent on how I'm feeling on a given day to get the information out there. But join us in this November self-care challenge and take good care of yourself because you deserve to be taken good care of. It's only for patrons, so sign up. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month, but sign up for the Patreon. Support the work of the Black Girls Guide to Self-Care. I love you. Make it an amazing day, week, month, year. As I already said, make tomorrow the first day of the best days of your life, because it can be that. Cheers to November.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of the Black Girl's Guide to Self-Care. If you're ready to get started on your own self-care journey and you need some help, check out the Black Girl's Guide to Self-Care workbook. You can find it on Amazon.com, and we would love for you to have it to help you in your self-care journey. You can also join us on social media. We have a Facebook group, the Black Girl's Guide to Self-Care. On Twitter, you can find us at Black Girl Self-Care. And on Instagram, we are Black Girl Self-Care Revolution. So come on over and join us online. Keep the conversation going and stick with us in between episodes. Love you so much. Thank you for joining me today. And I just hope that you have an amazing rest of your day, month, week, year, that it is literally you living your best life. So till next time, be well.